Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY25 conference call of Fairchem Organics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Jain Kunia from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Nupur Jain Kunia from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Fairchem Organics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of the financial year 2025. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. The statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to them. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Naush Dhariwala, MD and Chairman, and Mr. Rajan Jhaveri, CFO of the company. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rajan Jhaveri to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Nupur, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended financial year 2025. Let me first start off by giving you some of the key financial highlights. After which, our CMD, Sri Naush Bhai, will give you some of the operational highlights. For the third quarter under review, the revenue from operations stood at 114 crores, which declined by 23% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter was INR 8 crore, which declined by 61%, with EBITDA margins reported at 6.87%. Net profit was 3.5 crores. For the 9 months ended, the revenue from operations stood at rupees 417 crores, which declined by 10%. EBITDA was 38 crores, a decline of 20%, with EBITDA margins reported at 9.21%, and net profit was approximately 21 crores. I now request our CMD, Sri Naush Bhai, to brief you on the operational highlights for the period under review.
Good afternoon, everyone. In the third quarter, our sales of finished goods declined by 23% in terms of volume and around 18% in terms of value vis-a-vis the previous quarter. We witnessed a marginal improvement in our EBITDA margins as compared to the previous quarter. However, it remains below normal due to the continued pressure on the raw material cost as well as the fall in the sales due to lower demand and lower realization. We encountered lower demand from the paint sector for linoleic acid, soya fatty acid, which impacted both our top line and bottom line. In September 2024, as we had discussed earlier also, the Indian government had raised custom duty on crude vegetable oils from 5.5% to 27.5%, sharply increasing our dimer production cost as regards to its raw material. In order to compete with the Chinese suppliers, we had to absorb most of the hike to retain our two-thirds domestic market share, which has impacted our bottom line in a substantial manner. With no import duty change for the fatty acid, we had to cut our raw material purchases and can only hope and wait for a policy reversal which would take us back to the good old days. The silver lining, however, is that company continues to be upbeat on its value-added high-value product isostatic acid, which has more and more companies have started giving us approval for the said product. The company expects to achieve higher volumes of the export of this product quarter-to-quarter basis. With that, I open the floor for a question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirag Shah from Exemplar Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Can we have the Q3 as well as the 9-month figure of contribution of each of our major products, linoleic soya fatty acid, dimer and isosteric, individually to our revenue?
We cannot have separate contributions for each of the four main products, but I can tell you one thing. The share of these four main products in terms of, as a percentage of in terms of value during the quarter was nearly 78%. That includes our TOCO, minor TOCO business, linoleic business, dimer business, and the latest one to be added is the isostearic acid. So out of our total sales, share of these four products, prime products, was 78%. Because from a single raw material or a couple of raw materials, we are making multiple products, there is no separate contribution of each product.
Okay, so for Q3, you are talking about 78%, right?
And the figures which just now I gave you is for October-December quarter.
Okay, and for 9 months?
See, the figures more like for the previous quarter, the same said figures were 76%. And for the first quarter, the figures were 75%. So it is averaging around 76% only for 9 months also.
Okay, and now since we are just 1.5 months away from closing this fiscal, so can we have the exact status of the new product and the new raw material that we were talking about since last 1.5 years, for which we have dedicated only 1,000 metric ton per year capacity, I think. And when are we expected to commercialize the sales project?
No, already the pilot plant samples we have started sending for pre-approvals to the potential buyers, but it will take its own time because, again, as I have explained earlier, this is a product which we are going to make for the first time in India, and hardly 3 or 4 companies are making in the world. So we will have to move cautiously, keeping in mind its manufacturing costs and yields. Till we get those things absolutely in line, we won't be able to move forward. We are working on it.
But there is no approximate timeline? Means by FY26, in FY26, will we see the light?
Yeah, it should be. The way it is going, I feel that it should be.
And lastly, I would like to draw attention of the management to page number 30 of the company presentation released on 14 December 2024. In that, we had projected a revenue of 735 crore for FY25 and 979 crore for FY26. So current FY25 target seems to be impossible now. So as far as FY26 projection is concerned, is the management still hopeful that by any chance company can achieve even close to said FY20?
The duty drager is what we came up. It was something which is not under our control. We didn't visualize that situation. Whatever the thing what we projected was based on a normal market situation. Right now, in fact, if you will see that our raw materials what we buy attract 27.5% duty, and against that, if I want to import the finished product, the import duty is 7.5%. So we are fighting a losing battle.
That also we had already mentioned that this was the internal projection made by the company, and it doesn't hold good. At the bottom of that, we have already mentioned that it required an entire reworking kind of a thing. So it doesn't hold good. That is what was mentioned in that presentation itself.
No, but internally, are we hopeful? Of such
Internally, it was made long back before all these duty changes and lack of demand from paint sector, etc. came in. So it was made long back.
But it was disclosed only last month, I think, December.
No, because we made that presentation, we disclosed it.
So, got it. I will get back in touch.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Puladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just to continue on previous question on this internal projection. So, about the FY26 of 23.8% EBITDA margin, if duty is normalized, then with the isocetric and this new product, are we expecting this substantial jump in the margin? And does that hold true?
Everything depends on two things. One is that the duty thing with the differential is there. It becomes as before. That is one thing. And second thing is the paint industry revives.
So from last year, the demand from the paint industry would be, how much it would be down?
Oh, it is down substantially.
It's down substantially. It's really down substantially.
In terms of volume as well as in realization also, realization is holding on?
See, in form of volumes only. See, value we don't talk much because it is a relative.
30% was drop in volume from Q2 to Q3 only. And Q2 again itself was a further drop from Q1. So there was a 30% volume drop between October-December quarter and the previous quarter only.
Are you losing the market share in paints with the new players coming in?
We haven't lost any of our buyers. Any of the big companies whom we are supplying, we have not lost. Similarly, the product what we are making, people don't make a product which is nearing our specifications. They make inferior grade of products.
Sure, sir. And for this new product also, this custom duty of vegetable oil, that is applicable over there also, or is it
It's a domestic raw material.
No, which product are you talking about?
The new product.
Which is under development?
Yes, sir.
It's 100% domestic material, and so it won't affect it in any way.
And the commercialization, can we expect in H1 of next year?
Basically what I've been always explaining, we are the first company in India doing it, third or fourth company in the world doing it. It's an R&D work. It's not an easy thing really to work on. We have been working on this since last more than three and a half years. So, yes, there challenges do come. Many a times when you do an R&D, you feel that, okay, you have achieved certain things. But then when you try to scale it up, certain issues do crop up. So those are because there is no technology available of this product. Otherwise, I can buy the off-the-shelf technology and start doing it. But we are very hopeful that we'll be able to do it in 26.
Sure, sir. Sir, on the new product itself, whatever samples you have sent, according to you, they match the competitor profile or...
Quality-wise, we are able to match. We have to, at the same time, we have to keep two things in mind, what yields we get and what is our manufacturing cost.
So in the cost...
From pilot scale, we are working on it. We feel that it is on par. We'll be able to manufacture it at a competitive price.
Okay. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
The next question is from the line of Chirag from Budharani Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, in terms of this custom duty, how is the process? Do we make any representation to the government or we'll just have...
We have already made the representation. But you know, isolated representation from one company.
We are the only manufacturer of diamond fatty acid. So in that case, it becomes very tough. If there is steel... which is a commodity in where there are diamond dozen manufacturers, that association goes for the representation. In our case, it is not possible. But, we have a feeling that at some state things would change. At some state things would change. Government won't be able to continue like this forever.
Okay. second thing is, sir, in the paint sector, new players are coming in. So,
already our material is approved at Grasim also, and we are selling material to them.
Sir, since you said that, you know, the volumes are falling, so I'm trying to understand that even from the new players and the old players put together, even yet the volumes are falling.
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing is, what is the debt and cash on books, sir?
There is no long-term debt. There is a working capital against our receivables and the inventory. As of now, the outstanding is against our inventory and receivables of, say, about 130 crores plus. Our actual draw is less than 50 crores as on date.
And cash on book, sir?
There is no liquid cash on book. This is the undrawn drawing power is approximately 60-65 crores. That is the amount which we can spend.
Okay, sir.
We don't have any liquid surplus cash which we are investing somewhere, no.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Siddharth Purohit from InvestQ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. I'm already. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, now that the entire quarter has already gone and we know the impact of the import duty on the raw material front, can we say that this is the level of gross margin that is what we'll probably be comfortable with, or there is more to see on the volatility?
No, as we'll be able to, we'll sell more and more of our isostatic acid, our EBITDA margins would go up.
Okay.
So, Mr. Siddha, there are three points in this. One is the adverse impact of the duty. Another is the paint demand. So all these factors put together resulted into this kind of thing. So these two negative factors, one by one, if they reverse, accordingly that improvement would be there. And what Sri Nahuja is talking about is the positive from the isostatic acid, that new product which we have launched about 12 months back. And that is going reasonably well, and we hope further improvement from April 2025 next financial year. So that would, if we assume that there are no changes in these two basic assumptions which have negatively impacted this quarter, that positive impact of isostatic acid would be felt from April, particularly from April 2025 onwards.
Okay. And, sir, in previous call, probably we had mentioned in the isostatic acid business, the peak revenue potential at the current capacity is something around 150 crores. Is it correct? Or, I mean, it is depending upon the scalability that we'll revise it accordingly.
It depends on what is the value of raw material.
Potential sales value.
It should be.
And who are the other state people who are probably supplying in India? And
extends.
Okay. And who would be the other people who are supplying to, similar product or same product in India? And who are we?
For isostatic acid, we are the fourth player in the world.
Okay.
The remaining are in Europe and USA only.
Two in Europe.
Their amount is kind of, imported as of now in India.
Yes, 100%. And India is a very small market. 90% of our production will go as exports.
Utilization in India is very, 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 very limited. It is mainly for export market in developed countries.
Okay. Fine. So, clarification. What would be the blended cost of dimer and linoleic acid as of now?
Linoleic acid doesn't get imported.
Dimer gets imported.
Dimer gets imported. So, vis-a-vis our cost, what is the imported cost? What is the pricing gap as of now?
No, whatever the imported price, we have to match the price for selling. Otherwise, no one would buy from us. People would import. That's exactly what we have been saying.
Right.
That's exactly what we have been saying, because imports are coming under 7.5% duty. And we have to match those. And our raw material comes at 27.5% duty.
So assuming there is a kind of, you know, further slowdown in, let's say, other economies and there is more dumping happening here, we'll have to probably take
some price cut also. It is happening from China.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to understand, that if, say, there is further dumping in our market and there is further pricing pressure on that, we'll have to take a price cut on that front also?
Yes, obviously. What can I do? Otherwise, I have to lose the market. No one is going to buy at a higher price from me. If they are able to get it at lower price.
We are into B2B segment, ne? So the price has to be competitive, ne? In business to business deal, the price has to be competitive only.
Right.
And see, because our government has increased the duty, ne? That doesn't impact the Chinese cost of production, ne?
Absolutely. So the current, variables that probably will depend or probably improve for the company is a change in duty structure and probably the demand growth in paint sector.
Yeah.
These are the two things that is going to probably change.
Yeah, these two are the main things.
Okay. So one more clarification. In previous call, we had mentioned that out of the 120,000 tons capacity, we have kept 40,000 aside for the new products and all. So when we talk about new products, it is including isostatic acid and other new products, right?
No, excluding. Isostatic acid is covered in this 80,000. New product, exclusively 40,000 is the new product.
Okay. So would it be, can you give a, ballpark figure, what would be the potential market size for the new product that you are talking about that can be addressed? I'm not talking about revenue that you can do, but the potential market size that you'll be addressing.
Market share of that new product. See, we will be gradually reaching that 40%.
So initially, we will put up a plant which might be hardly 10 or 15% of world's market.
No, the market size that you can cater in India or maybe from your plant.
That also would be more for exports. See, we are gradually shifting from low-value products to high-value products.
So what basically I was trying to understand is that if we use the entire 40,000 tons that is available with us and meet 100% utilization, so hypothetically, what could be the revenue that we can generate from that? That's what I'm trying to just,
It will be substantial, double. Sales would be double.
It is again high-value product.
High-value product, the sales would be double, practically double.
But those are, we will be gradually reaching that optimum capacity, not in the first year itself.
So probably FY 2027-28 is what, yeah.
See, creating a capacity, making a product which is of acceptable quality, but then people also don't, the other three manufacturers are there in market. So buyers don't dump those guys. I mean, you see, to enter a market, this is going to be a gradual feature. Overnight, I cannot start functioning at 100% capacity utilization.
Like, it is a simple assumption that you have to give 1,000 days for any new product to be stabilized in the market.
So, to see some material impact from that segment, it will take another 2-3 years. Is it the fair assumption?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, sir. I'll come back on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to know, how is the demand from cosmetic and other sectors going?
Cosmetic sector is doing fine. Our isostatic acid is finding application in cosmetic. We have started exporting to Europe, US, the two world's largest cosmetic market. We have started exporting that.
We have 90% export in isostatic, right?
Practically, not even
90%.
You can say practically 100. So there are one or two small buyers in India.
And what will be the application for this, apart from cosmetic?
It goes in bio to manufacture lubricants, biodegradable lubricants.
Lubricants, okay. And
not the regular lubricant, only biodegradable lubricants.
Biodegradable, sure. And in linoleic acid, how is the demand there? And could you help me with this sector?
It goes in making of paints, and demand is not that good.
Okay.
You already said that there was on a quarter-to-quarter basis, there was a 30% drop in volume.
That is of paints, right?
So linoleic goes in...
Linoleic goes into mainly paint only.
And dimer goes in, where does dimer go?
It goes in epoxy hardeners. Anything you need to stick, it's the main raw material to manufacture aerodite. Dimer, we don't see any drop. We are not seeing, we are able to maintain the market share. In dimer, we are not making money because there is a dumping happening from China.
Right. How much market share you would have in dimer?
Around two-thirds.
Two-thirds market share. And who would be our competitor?
China.
Chinese supplier.
Chinese supplier would be our... And this would be our customers for Dimer?
Oh, there will be quite a few customers. We are
Help me with the first top two sectors or top
it
two...
Would be, it would be fair for me to do that.
Okay. But majorly paint companies only?
Oh. Dimer has a... lots of application, it goes in inks, it goes in paint, it goes in epoxy hardeners, it goes as a, in glue, anything you need to stick, it goes.
Got it, got it. Okay, thank you for my side. I'll get back in view for further questions.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Budrani Finance. Please go ahead.
Just one thing I wanted to understand. This 22% duty that we are talking about, that is on the raw material that is required to produce linoleic and dimer acid, right?
Yes.
So there we have an impact of the duty. And on the product side, in the dimer acid, we have the impact of Chinese imports, right?
Plus, it has 7.5% import duty only.
No, no. What we are trying to say is, while import raw material attracts 27.5% duty after this increase, before that it was 5.5 only. The dimer acid import continues to attract the same duty of 7.5% only.
So this import was there previously also. Previously also, right? I mean, this.
Yeah, but previously raw material was not this costly, na.
Raw material was carrying import duty of 5.5%. Then it became 27.5%. So difference of 22% happened.
Okay, okay. And on the other product, which is the linoleic acid, there we are seeing demand issues. So that is how...
Yes.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Keval Shah from GTI Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in our presentation, we mentioned that with no import duty change for fatty acids, we had to cut purchases of one of the raw materials. So the purchases that we have cut, that we are trying to source it locally now, or how are we going about it?
No, we are to sourcing it locally only, but they in turn have to import. The duty impact is set by them and then it is passed on to us. We are the sourcing locally only.
Okay. So they are the... Okay, so that is how it is going. Okay, understood. And is there any price renegotiation that is possible, or it's just not possible because we are operating at China's landed cost?
I mean, renegotiation of 20%, who is going to do? And if everything is B2B, nothing, no renegotiation is possible. So it's, I mean, you'll try to sell it at the highest possible price. And, I mean,
everyone will do that. Yeah.
Right. And the second question was that from April onwards, we see sort of meaningful ramp-up in isostatic acids capacity and
see, every quarter we expect increase in sales. More and more approvals are coming, from different companies. So, I mean, quality-wise, everything-wise, we are stable. We are settled. We have started, in fact, last week only we had lots of foreign visitors. We had visitors from 5 different countries. So, I mean, things are going on very smoothly in that. We are not worried. As regards isostatic, we are not worried.
Okay. And sir, the gross margins profile for isostatic would be more than double of what we do for dimer and linoleic?
It is a value-added product, ne?
Right.
You have to understand that this is a value-added product. From one raw material, we are making multiple products, prime products, other products. And from one of the co-products also, one of the co-products, we are making the further value-added product. Then again, it results into multiple products. So,
right.
Yeah.
So naturally, the margins would be much higher given the higher realization.
Obviously, there are just, we are the fourth manufacturer in the world. So obviously, the margins are higher. Obviously, the margins
are higher. Should the situation be the same, there is no revision in the duty, and plus, let's say, linoleic acid demand gets better, maybe during the course of the year, and with the scale-up of isostatic, should margins get back to 12-13% levels for next year?
Yes, easily.
That is what Nahuji said in the beginning only. That with isostatic acid, we are quite hopeful of increasing the margin.
And that should reflect in FY next year itself from April onwards, I think margins can meaningfully go up. Even if the revision doesn't happen, still we can put like around 12-15% EBITDA margin, right?
Yes, exactly.
You have got it right.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. How much will be a forex gain for this quarter?
Forex gain, see, there is no question of any forex gain or loss. It is a hypothetical thing. See, I will tell you in case if you happen to know that is okay, otherwise. Government is fixing the rates as far as shipping bill is to be prepared, at what rate shipping bill is to be prepared. And whatever is the prevailing rate, the government is fixing the rate well below that prevailing rate because they are periodically revising it. So generally, suppose, assuming that we have made the shipping bill at 85 rupees, the current rate at that point of time could be 85 rupees, 60 paisa or whatever. And then we are selling on credit term. So by the time we reach, if rupee continues to depreciate, there will always be a forex gain. If rupee continues to appreciate against the US dollar, there could be a potential forex loss. So in our case, since the rupee is gradually depreciating only, there will be, every quarter, there would be a place of some forex gain only.
Yes, so how much is the forex gain? I just wanted to know the quantum.
It will be very insignificant. Out of whatever we have, in the result, whatever we have disclosed, whatever amount is in the other income, some part of that is forex gain.
Okay. And this will be majorly isostatic acid which we are exporting, right?
See, earlier our export was less than 10%. For the first time this quarter, again, our export has risen to 14% or 14% plus. And going forward, it will further improve. So the share of export itself as a percentage to sales was quite minimal earlier till the September quarter, all the previous quarters.
Are you saying that in the export it is majorly isostatic acid, or is there something else also which we are exporting?
Majorly isostatic acid. There are other products also, but majorly isostatic acid.
So almost 10% of revenue?
Out of 14% of our total sales which is export, nearly 8-10% would be isostatic acid.
Sorry. 8-10% would be isostatic. Okay.
Yeah, for this quarter, we are saying that 14% is the export sale and balance 86% is the domestic sale. I'm telling rounded figures. Against this 14% export figure, 8-10% would be from isostatic acid and the balance would be from two other products.
Got it. And for the next year, how much do we expect isostatic to become?
Isostatic next year would be substantially higher than 10%.
Okay, expecting higher than 10. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you share some thoughts on this isostatic acid? How do we plan to ramp it up, and next year what will be the utilization? And
it's only easier to work on our marketing and getting product approval. Our capacity has already been installed. We have capacity which is already installed. So that is no only now it is how fast we get the product approvals from foreign buyers. And you need to understand, it goes in making of cosmetics where people take lots of trials. It's as nearing as it is similar about to what people do clinical trials.
In pharmaceutical.
So it is applied on some skin. So they take enough care. So that's the reason it depends on the company. Yes, they are excited to find a new supplier. That also from India. That they are really excited and they are working with us aggressively. But then whatever the pattern they need to follow, they need to follow.
That's correct.
Like Japanese buyers, we have been working since 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And still, we expect a 6 month period. It takes long to, but once, the beauty of this thing is, once you get your approvals, then it goes on for long.
That's good, correct. But when they buy also, how much normally are they big enough to take away almost 40-50% of our capacity? What are their requirements? Each size of the...
We would be hardly 10 or 15% of world's market.
Right. But the buyer whom we are approaching...
100% is no big deal.
And there...
Oh, we are working with more than 50 buyers.
We are not going to sell it to one or two.
Okay. And so far we have started with how many actual commercial supply
right
with...
Now we are working with 50.
Okay. Right now we are working with 50.
We are working with 50 people.
The product is under different approval stages with around 50 buyers. After which around 7-8 we have started supplying regularly.
So even if we say out of 50, even if 25-30 comes, is it good enough for our full capacity?
Very good enough.
More than good enough.
Much more.
Okay.
Much more than what we need.
Right. And are there any plans to take it up, expand further after two?
No. Yes. First, to reach full capacity utilization.
Yeah, so after 2 or 3 years.
Similarly, we are working on a new product. We do that and afterwards we'll think. Not before that. So nothing right now.
Right. And can you name the three other competitors?
Isostatic acid manufactured globally.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Cargill, Polyon.
Okay. One more, no?
Oh, they are all multinationals.
Correct. Okay.
Jarchem is the third one.
And their plant size is much bigger than ours, right?
Obviously.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Just a few questions. Sorry if these questions are very basic in nature. I'm just looking at the company after a long time. So, sir, so of course this raw material issue is a big issue for you, and you, as you said, these are things that will take its own sweet course of time. But is it fair to say that from this base, your margins will improve as your isostatic acid contribution goes up? Is that a fair understanding?
Yes. Absolutely.
Understood. And, sir, the other new product which you've been talking about, which you said there is 40,000 capacity that you have, that you will eventually have, so and where your revenues will be twice as what it is right now. So there, when do you start commercializing it, and where are you in that process of?
As I explained earlier, also we are again the fourth company in the world doing it, breaking in such a new technology where none of the Indian companies is doing, and hardly another three companies in the world are doing. It is not an easy thing. Please understand, it is not an easy thing at all. I am dreaming I can do it tomorrow. It's just, or me just saying a timeline that I'll do it by so-and-so date or so-and-so date, it's not really possible.
No, of course, sir. I totally understand it, sir.
I'm just lying. It's not that we have already made the product where the quality is on par with whatever is available in the world. But in that process, I have made the product, but then I have to make it at the right price. In that is, my manufacturing cost has to remain as one part, and second is my yields of that particular thing. Those two things are there. We are working on it. I won't rush in, because if I rush in and if I have a wrong yield on anything, there will be such a massive cash loss that rectifying that would take time.
Right.
Manufacturing efficiency is the key. Right. We are working on that.
See, I mean, money is not a problem for us. As he rightly said, there is a zero long-term debt.
Right.
Today I can, from working capital, I can withdraw 60, 70 crores, 75 crores and raise another 175 crores, put up a 250 crores. That is not an issue.
No, sir, I understand. I mean, I appreciate your candidness and honesty. Very few managements actually say it for what it is. But okay, let me ask it in a different way. So once you are confident of the product, as you explained, I think there is still some time for you having confidence in terms of the yield and the cost, etc. So let's say once you are confident and once you are ready to take it to the customers, what is the process then? I mean, how much time does it take?
No, then first thing is we have to put up the plant. Plant has been designed.
Right.
What we need to do is place the orders of the equipment. Designing and everything is over, permissions are over, everything is there, money is there, everything is there. We are waiting for the right thing. Once we are absolutely confident about our manufacturing cost and yields, we'll go about it, and then putting up the project is one and a half years, and product approval cycle and everything another 1.5 years.
Okay.
I mean, by that time, within 3 years, once we decide to go ahead, within 3 years, we'll be working at full capacity.
Understood. Okay. Got it. That is it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press *1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insight into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors, Mumbai. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Fairchem Organics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.